This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 568. I am Brian Kilby, and with me this week, we have a pared-down crew. We have Diecast, who is fiddling with something. What are you playing with there?
I'm trying to transform one of the things I got this week.
So,
and just to remind everyone, hashtag Unicron before C-Cons.
Yeah, no. Violent Jagger before Unicron. That's the
official.
I thought
your hashtag was Get Unicron Made.
Well, it is, but, you know, either one.
Yeah.
We'll go with two.
Yeah. We also have Matt. Matt, how's it going?
Good. And just so to remind Diecast that the official stance of Radio Free Cybertron is hashtag C-Cons before Unicron.
It is. The official stance. It's kind of funny. Like, I'm looking at you guys. You guys are beside of each other. And even though it's clearly not the same room, for whatever reason, to me, visually, it just becomes one gigantic Transformers display.
It does kind of blend.
It does, sort of. But Don's display is kind of at an angle. You can't see it there. Hey, Don.
Hey, the unofficial third-party stance is Mia Unicron lamp before Unicron.
Okay, I can get behind that.
Okay, that works. Are you really going to buy one?
If I could find one and I could live with myself every time I looked at it.
Don, you can't live with it. You can
live with it.
Computer, erase that entire personal log. Chris, how's it going?
I have pizza. I'm pretty happy.
I had pizza. It was delicious.
But it's not from Pizza Inn, and therefore it's not the best pizza whatever. Possible.
Well, I never got to have Pizza Inn when I was in that area-ish. I think that's the Virginia thing, right? So it's all been a little
more Carolina, but yeah.
I don't know that I've ever had it in North Carolina, but, you know. Rob, how's it going?
Not too bad.
I hear you tried to record a podcast last night. How did that go?
Could have gone better. Like I said, my one friend, his microphone was not working, so we got everything his phone picked up. That may yet go up on my YouTube channel, Flailthers.
Awesome.
So, you know, it was a good conversation, though. So,
it was Gundam?
You know. Yeah, the Gundam Battle Operation 2 beta that happened this last weekend.
Oh, very cool.
I was up at 6 in the morning for that.
Oh, God. So just a warning to everybody watching live, by the time you hear this, it'll be accurate or fair. Do not go on the internet because there will be Avengers spoilers.
Oh.
I am avoiding the internet over the next day.
I'm glad I don't care at all.
Yeah. I hear there's superheroes in this movie.
Oh, God, Don. Okay, let's go ahead and...
Well, one or two, yeah.
Let's move along. So, hey, just a couple things I wanted to mention up front. So we're going to test this. Hopefully we'll also do it next week, depending if it goes well. After our live stream of Radio Free Cybertron goes off, we go into post-show. We're going to repurpose post-show at least for the next couple weeks to test out Don's show. It's a Don deal. It's a Don deal as a call-in show, and you can call us at our voicemail line. We will actually pick up 931-99-GO-BOT. That's 931-994-6268. So be watching on Twitter and all that stuff at TF Radio to know when we are going to go on the air in the future, whenever it is, whether it's post-show or not. Call in, and you can talk to Don and whoever else is here. So Don, what do you want to talk about this evening?
Well, you know, it's, you know, the show is, like I said, this is sort of the test run. If there's a topic you want to discuss with me, or you want to hear, my thoughts on the subject, if you have something that you want to sell that's unique or you want to reach other people, other fans that you think this is something the fans would enjoy, or if there's, you know, a news topic you want us to bring up that we didn't bring up in the show, it's going to be a very open format. I do want to try to get some of the sales items in there because, you know, the original idea of It's a Don Deal was to go back to the old
if your parents or grandparents, when they listen to the radio, there'll be radio call-in shows like, "Hi, I'm Bill. I've got a tractor that I'm selling.
I've actually done that. Like, I've actually been
right.
I actually, when I worked in radio, I had to do that. And I will admit, it's kind of mind-numbing and infuriating, but I'm willing to do that for the listeners. So, Don and I are sacrificing ourselves for this.
Yeah. Well, we can sacrifice ourselves for life on planet Earth.
Yes. Yes, but it'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, God, I just made a dub reference.
Yes, you did. 931-994-6268. Also,
yeah, hey. Tastes terrible.
Apparently, we're on Spotify, which I didn't know that till today.
Nice.
So
what is Spotify?
It's a music service.
I heard the name, but I've never researched it.
Like, I signed up months and months and months and months and months ago to like get on, and I never got a confirmation or anything that I was on. And I just looked today, and hey, we were there.
And then suddenly spotting.
Yeah, suddenly spotting. So Spotify is a streaming music service, which, oh God, it's a stream. I wish I hadn't repeated that. It's a music streaming service that, because they decided that music wasn't enough, they branched out to other things, including podcasts. I'm not a big fan of Spotify as a podcast service, but I do know that there are people out there like my buddy Jason who use it exclusively. So if you use Spotify and use it for podcasts and you're listening to us somewhere else because you just had to, well, we're now on Spotify. Just search for Radio Free Cybertron. So, hey, that's something. I'm sure we'll probably get like 3 downloads a week from that.
My favorite Spotify story is Ringo Starr and Jeff Lynne from Electric Light Orchestra, I think it was, put out a song on Spotify, got really good numbers, and it's like, hey, if we'd done this back in like 1967, we'd have made a fortune. I think we can go get snacks.
Yeah. Yeah. The music industry's changed a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
But yeah, so we're on Spotify. I don't actually, again, use it for podcasts, but I played around with ours today, and it actually sounded good. It loaded fast. So, we're on Spotify, yay! Okay. Hey, did anybody get anything this week? I'll start, because I did. I got the Combiner Force Soundwave and Laserbeak. I don't know why, I just happened to see them on the shelf, and I decided that I wanted them. I really like it. All things considered.
Is that the 3-step changer or
it's a couple of steps more than 3 steps, but it's effectively like a 3-step changer.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's like fairly simple. It's got some mechanical stuff in it. Yeah, if this were a different line, a different price point, it would be one of those toys where you turn a hinge or something and it transforms. It's not quite like that, but it's basically that class. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. And I like the look of it, and I like the fact that Laserbeak is a target master.
You know what? I want a 1-step changer transformer that's a Ford Model T, and you turn the starter crank, and that's what transforms.
That would be awesome.
Well, there was concept art a long time ago for, you know, I don't know where it came from, but it was like cars throughout history done as transformers. It was like a whole series of artwork. When there was a Model T in there, you know, the crank became like
I think
sword.
That was from the movie.
It could have been, actually.
Yeah,
maybe it was. I remember there was like black and white photos.
Revenge of the Fallen. Actually, I think they explained.
That's why
that.
I forgot about it, because it's a second movie and doesn't deserve to be remembered. Okay.
Oh God! Now the chat is basically exclusively doing hashtag this before that. Which Megazord right now, Megazord, Unicron before Unicron. Or Unicorn. No, Unicron before Unicron. Okay.
Yeah, there was already a Unicorn Megazord.
Gotcha. Interesting. I also got the, I don't even know why I bought it. It was just a dumb random purchase. The Movie the Best, 09, Dino Ride, Grimlock, and Optimus Prime. I decided that
he's
I want.
It's very pretty.
Yeah, I like the color on it. I think amongst my friends, the whole Optimus riding Grimlock has sort of become like a ha-ha thing for me. So, like, my friends here, because, like, people will send me photos of Optimus riding Grimlock. Somebody bought me a print of somebody of G1 Optimus riding G1 Grimlock. So, I don't know. It's a thing. But
I'd want to take the Riding Optimus and see if it fits, say, SH Figure Arts Yoshi.
Ooh. I probably would. I didn't know there was a Figure Arts Yoshi.
I'm pretty sure there is.
There probably is.
Yeah.
I
Mario and Luigi. Okay. There you go.
Yeah, I have Yoshi.
So I'm assuming the tongue is detachable, right? Or is it a separate head?
I have to check. He's still in the box.
Gotcha. In the chat, Rodimus Supreme, who I was verbally sparring with earlier, but I do respect, and we give each other mutual crap, said Revenge of the Fallen was going to have Ransack be a Model T, which later is used as a biplane. So,
which is actually one of the most innovative figures they did for. There's a lot of good scouts in the movie, in the various movie lines. I will admit that
Revenge of the Fallen had a lot of toys just to start with, and so by mathematical probability. quite a number of them were actually interesting and or good.
You're exactly right. That's how it works.
I will put it this way. I enjoyed more toys out of the Revenge of the Fallen toy line than any other movie line. I think that's just because of the sheer volume of toys.
Oh, God. Which toy was it that had the SWAT vehicle? Was it, or line? Was it Revenge of the Fallen?
I think that was the first movie.
Was that Breacher?
Breacher, yes.
Breacher's
a great toy. Wheelie's a great toy.
Yeah, because Breacher was being shown with Sea Spray a lot.
Yeah, they didn't have scouts of actual movie characters or movie style designs for the first movie, and then by the time Dark of the Moon came out, scouts weren't really viable anymore. That size class was like the Human Alliance little figures. Took over what had been the scout price point, so Revenge of the Fallen would have been the only time we could have had scouts like that.
Man, sadness. I got Cyber Battalion Jetfire, and Cyber Battalion Jetfire is I thought I was going to hate it, but I kind of like it. I mean, it's a crappy transformation, obviously, but it's
got a lot of fiddle value. If you're just sitting watching something, you just you can change him and change him back, and he's like swoosh and for such.
It's nowhere near as nice as Prowl, because Cyber Battalion Prowl is excellent. But robot mode I like. Vehicle mode feels a little bit compressed. Yeah. So
I keep hoping to find a Shockwave, but I saw Sideswipe, but no Shockwaves.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah, I've been looking, but no luck. So, okay, let's go ahead and move along. Matt, what'd you get?
No one will ever know, because I'm not allowed to talk about things that aren't Transformers related.
Go ahead. I just saw your comment Next. In the chat. I saw your comment no, in the no, chat. I agree.
No,
I agree.
No, no. Okay. That's fine.
Okay. Okay. Hey, so while we're talking about it then, I got a classic yellow Voltron Lion for like $8 at Target. If anybody can find the rest and help me out on clearance, let me know. Diecast, what'd you get? I see a bunch of boxes back there, and I am super jealous of one.
I got the Mastermind Creations Drift. Came with the Mastermind Creations.
I thought Flame Toys did that.
Not a licensed one, Don.
No, this is the transformable.
Oh, okay. Aether Beta or whatever.
The cape's throwing you off, isn't it?
Okay. Oh, I didn't know there was two of those drifts in that kind of size.
Yeah. Well, he's,
because it's drift. I don't really care.
Yeah. But I liked Arrow so much. I think this is Arrow. I forget his name. I liked him so much, I figured I'd get Drift to go with him.
No.
So.
No.
Why not, Don?
I'm a strange one.
Don,
but that's
Don,
what happened.
Move your camera down.
Attack. No,
he wants his window up, and I'm telling him no.
Oh, well. There you go.
I just took my cat's bedroom away, so if that's the case, Massey's going to be okay.
No.
He knows what no means.
Oh, dear God. That's so
light. Oh, you suck. Where'd you get that from?
Chosen Prime.
He got his Grand Maximus. I'm so jealous.
That is so pretty on such a crappy, terrible toy.
And the head was really hard to get on for some reason. And then when I finally got it on, he yelled, "Head on!"
Did he?
Yeah.
Awesome!
And I forgot to transform the head, transform the head. So that's why his arms and legs are all kind of all over the place.
Good job, Diecast. Are there any, forgot how to transform one of the any... simplest things to transform that come out in the last few years.
Yep.
Kim is going to be so pissed off when she sees mine come in.
Is there any Master Force music built in? Did they change? Did they put any Master Force themes?
I don't think
themes?
There's any music at all.
Yeah, there's no music, but I think the voices are different, maybe? So...
Probably.
I got that.
I'm so jealous.
I'm anxiously awaiting Big Bad Toy Store shipment to come in so I can get
and
mine.
Then, in a lack of judgment, I bought this.
So
that's a beautiful figure.
Yes,
don't feel bad for buying the beautiful figure.
That reminds me.
Is this why your wife broke her foot kicking you?
So this is the Cybertron, the Last Night Toys R Us version.
Yes.
Or the toy, obviously the repaint of Primus.
Cybertron Primus.
So but he got that. How much did you pay for it?
It was strange. It was 15% off and
plus
then they put another 10% off.
Okay,
on it.
So I went to the Toys R Us that Chris visited on the way back home. He said was the smallest Toys R Us
Hickory,
he's ever been
yeah.
to. Yeah, the Hickory store. It doesn't even look like they're closing. Yeah, I mean I have never seen it so well stocked as it is right now. I got Triplet Thundercracker and I got myself another Gnaw, which I forgot about. But so it was like 15% off the toy, and then it said at this location only, take an additional 10% off, which I assume because they're still getting so much stock. Like every other Toys R Us I've been to, they look like they're closing. That one did not.
Mine is still very well stocked because they just got in a bunch of Marvel Legends, a bunch of the Infinity War stuff, the Power Rangers Legacy stuff with Zenizer.
Yeah.
And other stuff. So mine is probably actually Brian. Mine is the smallest one left in the chain.
I think they're. I was sitting outside of yours, and it looks like the exact same store. So they could be the same format and same size. But I guess where I was going with that is the one in Hickory still has two of those Cybertrons left, which I didn't expect to see any. So maybe people luck out and can still get them. Maybe they might hit the 20% off. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Speaking of Hickory, did you ever find that comic shop?
I did not.
I went there on my way home. It wasn't that great. It's where I got that Thomas Riker figure.
Yeah, so they had they used to have G1 stuff. I don't know if they still did.
The location they're in now, like just looking at the outside of that storefront where it used to be, I think it's a smaller location. Also, they probably downsized quite a bit.
And it's so crazy that the comic shop in Winston that Don was talking about, that Don goes to Selfish, has Diaclone, Dinobots. And this is exactly the sidetrack conversation that our person in the chat was talking about.
Yeah.
Pre-show. That's why I enjoy doing the show.
Yes.
The Toys R Us that I went to still had 4 Primuses.
Wow.
I think I bought, now they're down to 3 after I got one. But I think the next day they dropped it to 20%, but they took off that additional 10%.
Oh,
so it's probably about the same anyway.
It's not far off, yeah.
Yeah. And then for the next Die Pop cast, I got 2 pop figures,
nice.
The Cat in the Hat and Sam I Am.
They look so different.
Yes.
They're so unique and collectible.
They're very different.
Awesome. Chris didn't get anything you said. Rob, what about you?
Not a thing.
And we have been joined by the amazing, the wonderful John DeLuna. John, did you pick up anything this week?
I got Battle Trap, whatever they call him these days. He's fine. He's actually, no, he's not fine. I take it back. the helicopter side. Which one is he?
Battle Slash.
Okay, Battle Slash. Okay.
It's so weird to have individual names.
So... He's the so the combined robot is fine. The two separate robots, specifically him, the helicopter one, is so like overly complicated. It's a little bit maddening to me because he's so small and he only has 3 modes. I know that's one extra mode, but he's got like all he has to do is pull off some semblance of a helicopter. A reasonable small robot, and then a torso, a robot from the waist up. And his his design and his transformation is so like overwrought and complicated given the toy's size that it was, it took me aback. So, I mean, I can't imagine like a toy that size, I should be able to just look at it and know how to transform it. And I had to like go step by step on both sides of the instructions to make sure I got him just right. And for a toy that size, which is legends-ish, I don't know. I found that disappointing, a little frustrating, and just putting myself in like the mind of a 6 or 7 year old, which is really weird. Saying it was like third party issues, I don't think correct, but it was just oddly over designed. It took me aback. I was expecting the exact opposite. I was expecting a very simple, you know, 5-step transformation or whatever, but his arms are going every which way, and there's 3 or 4 joints in his shoulders, and things are flipping and flying and going backwards and forwards and double jointed elbows, and legs become arms. And it was just a really strange experience kind of wrestling with a small toy as much as you have to. So the combined mode's fine, like I said, but the individual robot, specifically that helicopter, it's crazy complicated. So other than that, though, I got nothing.
Oh, I muted while I was doing some research here. yeah. I'm so weirded out by that toy because in my mind, Battletrap is very much a single unit, and it's just odd to me that it's odd in a good way that they've expanded on what that toy is and what the character, in quotes, is.
Sure. I also, like, in my head, since I have only the G1 toy to compare, like, he's effectively a, like, a one-step transformer, like, in G1. Yeah. And this is, like, the opposite. So, it's a very weird experience.
So, for whatever reason, this strikes, to me, is similar to the combining Minicon set. What was the name of that?
Centurion.
Yeah.
Yeah. The toy just kind of seems kind of like this, I don't know, it's cohesive, but at the same time it has like that little weird little sort of kind of waist, I guess, and it seems like it's almost hourglass shaped, just sort of has a weird look to it.
Yeah, I can see that. And like I said, like, just my biggest thing with the toy is it's just kind of like this lavish transformation design which I think is not only unnecessary, but is just the polar opposite of the original toy and kind of the spirit of Duocons, where you just slam them together. And they do that in RID. I mean, we've seen like much simpler versions of that. We've effectively seen the G1 Duocon kind of idea in the last few months of the other lines. It's just weird. It's weird to see this kind of design philosophy applied to a toy and a character, which is kind of crafted around the nostalgia of a 35-year-old, and it's designed not to play into your memories of that original toy at all.
Do you feel that like the Power Links gimmick was sort of like the spiritual successor of that, or was that too complicated because you had to go through those transformation steps?
I think it was closer for sure. I don't know. This was, like I said, this was just a weird experience. It was kind of, I don't know. How do you tap into your 30 and 40 year old nostalgia? There's endless ways to do it. The way they did it here was just kind of strange. I mean, they made Battletrap. Like I said, Battletrap, he exists to attract the nostalgic crowd. And like I said, like in the character choice and how he vaguely looks makes sense for that. And then you crack him open, and you know, you need a master's degree to transform.
I don't actually have a Battletrap, but I have 2 flywheels, and I'm looking at one of them right now, and God, that toy is 30 years old.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for sure.
Jeez, okay.
Uh-huh.
Something that's 10 years old. Let's go ahead and jump to This Week in History. 10 years ago, what? Don! I thought we asked.
No, you didn't.
I was going to throw the second
week in a row you did that, too.
Yes, it is.
Don's mad now.
I didn't get anything.
Now, most of my stuff is in transit. Some new stuff at the beginning. I have been working my backlog. Mech Fan Toys Dinobots, they're very nice.
How do they compare to the fans toys? How do they compare to fans toys?
They're probably a lot better.
Open up, Chigura. You know, I'm working. But I did pick up Studio Series Starscream, but I'm debating whether I'm keeping him or not, just because I've watched the reviews. He looks good, but do I really need another movie Starscream? So yes. I'm debating whether to keep him or not.
Get rid of all the other ones.
That's not a bad idea.
Well, yeah, but then what do I do with that $5 that I get from all the rest of the Starscreams?
Hashtag Donanomics.
So, yeah, I may keep them. I may not. I haven't decided yet. But I've got that. I got some other stuff coming in, but right now that's all I picked up was that. And that's it.
I'm sorry. I'm glad you mentioned Chigger, or however you pronounce it. I was looking at something this week that somebody had posted, either a crazy collector or somebody who runs a store had a picture of the YJing Omega Supreme beside of Alchicus My Walletus beside of DX9 Gabriel. And I've always maintained that Alchicus My Walletus looked the best of all of them. But side by side, I got to say, I like to look at Gabriel the best. It's not by a wide margin. But one, I give a slight edge to Gabriel, and also considering that it's a little cheaper as well.
Comes in one part.
while I don't do third-party Masterpiece stuff, if Takara is very likely to release the toy, I don't ever see that happening. I might break down and get a Gabriel.
I think for my purposes, if I was ever going to get one of these Masterpiece scale Omega Supremes, it'd probably defer to whichever one leans hardest into the playset aspect of the alternate mode, because like that's where you're going to get the most mileage out of any Omega Supreme, in my opinion.
Well, they did show off that they were doing the Guardian version of Gabriel, and I'm planning on getting that one, so that way I can have both molds and not double dip on the same Omega. But I have seen pictures where I think it was one of the two was actually holding the Evil Star version of Astro Train, the more steam locomotive version, was actually holding him in the claw and was able to support it. And it was, and that's a full size third party triple changer, and it was like no problem. Like from the opening of the cartoon when he grabs him out of in the cartoon. So I also do like the Y Zhang one, but it's the least one of the three that I won't. But I hope they do a really interesting recolor like Omega Supreme. That'd be nice.
Oh, that'd be crazy. So two things real quick. One, while we're talking about this, Diecast just shared a link to Taobao where Gabriel's $180. Now I don't know how much shipping is.
Shipping's a lot expensive.
But
yeah. I mean, expect another $100.
Oh. Okay, well, never mind.
I would say maybe not quite that much, but like, you know,
close.
Yeah. So
that would be what I would expect.
Right.
So with my birthday coming up, I may change what I want to Gabriel. Seriously. I plug it every chance I get. Join us live every week because it's awesome. We have a great chat on tfradio.net/live. And also on our Facebook live stream, we have people who comment there as well. And I just saw our buddy Kevin Lucas from Unicron.com. He said his hashtag was #Unicron before all or everything.
Yes. Yes. Kevin's awesome.
He is an awesome dude.
Kevin is awesome.
So there you go. It makes sense. He's a little biased.
A little bit, yeah.
So going to this week in history, 10 years ago today, or 10 years ago this week, the first day of BotCon 2008, this was the last non-California BotCon that I missed. And if I wasn't getting married that year, I would have been there. So, John...
Where was 2008?
It was in Cincinnati. That's an easy trip. But again, I was getting married and I just couldn't do it. John and Don were both there, right?
Yeah.
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 That was the Shattered Glass. Exactly. How was that BotCon?
I guess it was fine. they all blend. They all, at this point, Brian, they all really blend. I remember bits in 96 stands out because it's always the disaster.
Men in Black.
94 stands out because it was the first one. 2001 in Durham stands out for, you know, obvious reasons.
I assume 2005 stands out too for the...
Why 2005?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I remember seeing Garbage In and Garbage Out, and that was really a really fun episode for them to give us as a prize.
And they did commentary along the way with it. That's what the wiki said. I wasn't there, so I don't know.
Sure. I
don't remember.
They MST3 MST'd it. Yeah,
sure. but that was.
If I had to do it over again, I would have made it. I was just saving up. I was saving up my pennies for the wedding.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was.
Well, you could have gotten married at BotCon.
Oh, God.
You could have
Kim and I both agreed that we should have just saved our money because we both paid for the wedding ourselves and just ran off and got married like at a casino or something. Or BotCon,
yeah, that's
even better.
A better use of your resources.
Yeah.
Would have been. And Kim wouldn't have broke her ankle like during the reception.
What?
Ooh,
you didn't know that? No, Kim, like Kim on the way from the wedding to the wedding reception, it was a walk of about 100 yards. Kim slipped, broke her ankle. We spent the wedding night in the emergency room.
I mean, I'm sure you're not the only person who spent their wedding night in the emergency room, but you've probably got the like least fun story to go along with it.
Broke her ankle. It was great. So yeah, that was something, but it could have been at BotCon. Could have been at BotCon. So
great way to start your married life together.
It sure was. Okay.
Of course, the good thing about Garbage In, Garbage Out is it got us more angry Archer, which was, you know, always fun.
So basically, let's jump to the big news for the item for the week. This I sort of debated on this and another item, but I think this is long term more important. The first quarter results for Hasbro for 2018 are in, and they're not good. So I'll say Hasbro is blaming the liquidation of Toys R Us on the problem, and there's probably some truth to that. They are liable to tell most of the truth as they can, and that's, you know, part of their own internal analysis. But they lost like $100 million this quarter.
$112.5 million, or 90 cents per share. Now, how much are their shares?
Oh, I mean, if John stepped away, John's an MBA. He could probably tell us more of that than I could. I could try to fumble my way through it, but
well, because if their shares are $90 and they went down to $89.10, that's not terrible. I mean, it's not great. No one ever wants to see the stock fall, but that can be recovered.
Yeah, so you don't want to have a loss. I know that the company that I work for, if we had a quarterly loss, I know we would probably be freaking out. I probably shouldn't say that, but I know.
I think that's true for any company that one would work for that is publicly traded. So I don't think you're giving away anything there.
Yeah. So a loss is not good, and long term, we know. Aaron Archer had said one of the reasons he left Transformers was because this idea of selling toys and then shipping them out of crude oil and shipping them across the ocean isn't sustainable, and which is one of the reasons we're seeing Hasbro try to transform itself to an entertainment company. Mm-hmm.
Now, this is confusing. Sorry to interrupt. I'm looking on Google right now at the Hasbro on the NASDAQ. And their shares are at $86.97 a share, so $86.97 a share. And that is up 71 cents, which is about 82% from, I don't know if that would be yesterday or, but yeah, so it did take a dip. I'm looking at the 1 month trend. But it's still down.
If you read the results, I mean, they say, yeah, hey, it's not great, but this doesn't represent the strength of our company. Right. Now, this company is a strong company. Don't get me wrong, but like other companies, we also know that the world is changing. And while the company is strong now, the economy of how things work. I mean, if you look at these toys, they're mostly hollow now because. I'm not complaining about that because I still love them, but the world's changing. The economy's changing. This could just be another sign that the way that the hobby that we love could be dramatically different here in 10 years, where now it's basically the same that it was 10 years ago, except for the fact that stuff's smaller.
That it costs twice as much.
And it costs
twice as much, and it's half as good.
So secretly, and I hate to say this, but secretly, that prospect actually got me a little bit excited. Because it could be an ending point to some of this collecting problems, you know, that I have without me having to actually intervene myself.
No, you'll just transition over to like hard drugs and, you know,
actually,
have a whole different problem.
Yeah, what I was thinking though is instead of buying new stuff, I could at that point start focusing on filling in gaps.
Yeah.
But everybody else will too.
Well, start early.
Brian, I got a question.
Yeah.
I got a question for you. I brought this up a long time ago in an earlier show, and I was talking with y'all about this, about how eventually Hasbro won't be selling actual product to a degree. They'll be selling blueprints that you buy, and you 3D print your own figure within a certain amount of time frame before what you buy doesn't exist anymore.
I don't.
In some fashion. I mean,
20 years
and
from now.
I don't even know that. That's.
What I'm saying is though, do you think maybe with the decline of Toys R Us and them showing the volatility of the brick and mortar even more now, they might be looking at something along those lines sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, so it goes back to the whole transformation thing. I'm certain, like, Mattel was looking at the 3D printing stuff. Lots of companies are looking at 3D printing. Here's the thing, though. Unless they charge a lot of money for it, for those 3D models, I mean, they can't run their business on that. I see that more being a boutique thing, where, like, our buddy Trent Troop, who does Prize Inside, he sells models, and he has stuff 3D printed through whatever that service
Shapeways.
Is. Shapeways. I don't see Hasbro being a publicly traded company making their money on selling STL files. It's just not going to happen.
Or at least that would be like a, say, like it'd be like a, because we saw Hasbro Labs and the success of the Jabba barge. Now, true, you could 3D print something like that, but that just shows there is enough niche collectors for these oddball things that really may not be able to sell at brick and mortar retail, but they can provide you the file and say, like, oh, you want, like, say you want the, I'm just using an example. Okay, this is a high quality G.I. Joe weapon set that would not sell at retail, but here's the file to print all your own weapons.
I think more likely what's going to happen is if, like, that Hasbro Labs idea, would it probably be where all the collector stuff goes, and instead of them selling you the files, they still sell you the plastic. But, like, simple toys, like Play School toys and things like that, if those would be the ones that are more likely to be 3D printed, because, I mean, 3D printing technology has gotten a lot better. But
it's also advanced quite a bit before this would be a viable, like, mass production thing. I'm using mass production in an odd sense here, but I think you understand my meaning.
Absolutely. I mean, so our buddy Greg Galb, which to me, you guys probably haven't heard that name in years, was actually he just bought a new 3D printer, and it's the same one that I have, but it's like a couple of models newer. Mm-hmm. And he's able to do really cool stuff, like, right out of the gate. But it's still not. It's nowhere near prime time. Nowhere near. The resolution's not better.
I mean, there's you know, a few, like, to use Don's word, boutique makers, manufacturers that do use, like, full start to finish 3D printing techniques to make limited production runs of toys that they sell through,
like,
an online. Yeah, that Glios is something different. Glios isn't 3D printed, but is another boutique kind of thing. Glios is like rotocast vinyl, I think, or something similar to that. But there is, you know, starting to be a little bit of a foot in the door for using 3D printing to manufacture toys on more than like a one-off situation. But that is still so much in its infancy. There is one thing coming up sometime soon. I don't off the top of my head know like the names of the people involved in this, but it started out as one of those limited 3D print manufacturing jobs. And that maker actually was able to get together with a factory to have that mass produced produced so that it could be done on scale. So, like, it's still a long ways off before we could transition out of factory production in the way we understand it today to something 3D based.
But with the loss of Toys R Us, that may put it in more of a higher up on the let's see if we can make this work list is what I'm thinking.
I mean, not as long as Amazon exists, basically. You know, brick and mortar retail is invaluable. Don't get me wrong. That too will change as time moves on. But right now, brick and mortar is still invaluable. But there is still places for this stuff to go, even if it's having to lean a little bit heavier into online retail versus having a physical storefront for, you know, impulse purchase purposes. Yeah. Now, Toys R Us going away is going to have an impact. It's going to change the way things work. It's going to change the way the companies think about the stuff that they want to make. You know, probably by 2020, if Transformers has not already undergone a massive shift in its philosophy of design and manufacturing just for economic purposes, I think we're going to see a major difference in what the Transformers line for that year will look like because Toys R Us is gone.
Yeah. It's interesting times we're living in.
Or sad, depending how you want to look at
it.
Yeah. Well, that's the old curse. May you live in interesting times, and well,
we do. Okay, so jumping into the news, Studio Series Thundercracker escapes the doom of Toys R Us exclusivity. So, Entertainment Earth has it. I saw that TF Source is going to have it. Anybody else getting this?
Big Bad Toy Store has pre-orders up. Entertainment Earth was first out of the gate announcing this, and then within 24 hours, some of the other stores had put their listings up.
So if you're going to scalp your Toys R Us Thundercrackers, do them now.
Do it now.
In fact, I have a second
John
one.
Already did it, so he's good.
Yeah.
That may become it's contest fodder. Deal. Yeah, so... No, I'm not.
Entertainment Earth has them priced at the same as Toys R Us retail. I know Big Bad Toy Store is a little bit higher. I didn't check TF Source's pricing, but
yeah,
you know, do your shopping around.
Yeah. Okay. So that's cool.
I would be surprised at this point to see if this turns up on Amazon too. Honestly, because it looks like this is just becoming generally available to whoever wants to carry it.
So let's see here. This was posted today. Rob, you posted this about the MAS Toys Renegade.
I assume so, but yeah.
So it's a masterpiece style Tetrajet.
Mm-hmm. Is it masterpiece style? I thought this actually, was supposed to be like Voyager size.
It looks
actually it's 20 centimeters tall, so it's about Voyager scale.
Man, it looks really nice. It looks masterpiece alike to me, especially like in the canopy there. You can see through it, if it was actual plastic there.
You know, clear plastic isn't limited to just masterpiece alike.
Yeah, but it's very nice looking.
Yeah,
it looks like it's trying to be a Tetrajet. I don't know that I would call it a Tetrajet.
Well, I mean, you have to think about, like, the closest thing we've had to a physical representation of the Tetrajet as it appeared in the cartoon was by Impossible Toys. And you know how that turned out.
We all have a couple of them.
They did look right. They did
didn't
look
feel
like,
right.
Yeah, looking right in their vehicle mode was the only thing that they accomplished.
I think the robot mode on this looks absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
I'm just not sold on the vehicle mode.
I don't like the vehicle mode. I'm digging it.
Pretty okay with this because, like, they knew they could not do a 100% accurate Tetrajet because that would be impossible, so they just kind of fudged it as much in between that and, like, the Cybertron Starscream vehicle mode design, and I am 100% okay with that.
Yeah, it looks great.
I think they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's no way to make a good toy of the, you know, Seekers that turn into D-Force. There's just no way to do it. We're going to see Hasbro try it again next year and probably show again that there's no good way to do it.
I wouldn't be surprised if Hasbro's attempt looked something like this.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me either. But this, you know, I'm looking at this. It looks good. It also looks like it should be in Great Mazinger's head.
If they do one in proper Sunstorm colors, I would be very interested in picking one up.
Now, I've never really been a stickler for this has to look like on-screen accuracy. You know, I've never been that kind of person. I've tried not to be in my collecting. But for some reason, the Tetrajet from More Than Meets the Eye, I want that to look like the show. I know that's very unreasonable and unfair of me to demand that without them breaking the laws of physics.
Yes, how dare you, Don?
But for some reason, that's the one thing I want them to get. Like, they went up to the TV screen, grabbed the image, pulled it out, and say, here's your Tetrajet. I don't know why it's so important to me.
For me, it's episode one, Wheeljack.
It's important to me. That,
yeah, I'd like yeah. one of those.
But I think it's equally impossible to do.
Okay, Rob, go ahead.
I understand that impulse, Don, because I like this design, but at the same time, if you're going to do, you know, something based on that, it seems like that if you don't do it as closely to the design as you possibly can, it kind of defeats the novelty of the thing.
Yeah.
So I can see where you're coming from with that.
I guess in my head, it's like, hey, y'all made a lot of changes and a lot of design choices that I didn't agree with, but I was more than willing to give you the benefit of the doubt because of the technology and the aesthetic of the line you're doing. But this, damn it, I want this to look like the way that I want it to look like. So, you know, I know that's unfair. It's just, this is the one thing that's always stuck with me.
If we're going on-screen accuracy, I still want a hot rod that transforms every way it transformed in Transformers the movie.
Yeah, so does Don.
Yes, so do I. It's just, I just want, of all the figures, and I don't know why, I want the Tetrajet to look like More Than Meets the Eye. That's my one thing that I cannot get over, but I want that to look like that.
So here's and an interesting thing. Ed F., Michael Pytel, and Sam Green in the chat have all commented how this looks at least somewhat like a Viper from Galactica.
Battlestar Galactica. I was thinking the same thing, but I didn't want to derail the conversation any further.
Hey, so I really want to talk about this next item, so I'm going to jump ahead.
All right.
So TF Dream Factory is producing an unofficial Roadbuster from Dark of the Moon. This thing, they are so going to get sued out of existence. Oh my God, look at this. So, one, it's got the Chevy logo on it. It's got the Dale Earnhardt Jr. decals, and he lives like 20 minutes from here. I just want to point out that I thought I had the most popular podcast in my tiny hometown. I forget that Dale Earnhardt Jr. lives here and also has a podcast. I'm pretty sure he has more listeners than we do.
Aww.
And, but we would be second. and Mountain Dew decals and the National Guard. So he's dealing with Hendrick Motorsports, Pepsi, and the U.S. government and Chevy. Actually, the government still owns Chevy. So the
government never owned Chevy.
They, for the buyout.
Oh. Wasn't that Ford? Oh, no, it was GM.
It was GM.
That?
It was
yeah.
GM.
Yeah.
From the bailout, I mean.
Brian. Yeah, let me ask you this, Brian. Well, you remember the Roadbots from Happy Wheel Toys? That was the real popular there for a while. They were fully licensed from the individual manufacturers.
Yeah.
Do you think they got like a license from
some? No.
I mean, strangers. No. Stranger things have happened. I just was wondering if you thought maybe.
No, Don.
I just wanted to bring it up as an option.
This is not the only one of these wreckers this company is producing, so they've probably got even more legal troubles ahead of them for the other badging they're going to be emulating.
Oh. Well, yeah, because the one is a Lowe's car, the other one is a Target car. The Target car already got made. The Lowe's one is coming out very soon.
Oh, I gotta buy it.
Probably this other one, that's the third.
Like, I'll be escorted to HR if I buy that and put it on my desk.
You should. That would be hysterical.
I'm kidding, I won't. That was a joke.
No, that was, I think you should.
Just letting people know that was a joke. Okay, so, but yeah, dang it. I love the look of it. I love the look of this because the wreckers are kind of the one thing that I do like from Dark of the Moon. I think they're neat looking vehicles, but yeah. This is a novelty. If this comes out, I'm buying it. I really will, because it won't. There can't be that many of them produced.
Well, I know someone who can get that for you.
Oh, please. Okay, thank you. Well, let me know what I need to do for the hookup.
So I'm interested to hear Matt's take on this next item.
Let me go back to the show notes, and I'll tell you what the next what's the next item, Chris.
Fans Project returns again with B-Structure, not Monstructure combiner set.
This is
just refuse to give up, don't they?
No, this is the we need to get our money out of this mold. So yeah. Let's just
please,
put it in a
please God,
color.
Let us get our money out of this mold.
But it's the right thing. I mean, if you're going to repaint it, obviously this is the thing to do.
It looks great. I mean, it looks like Monstructure.
It does. I should love this. I should. I don't.
I dare somebody at TFCon to walk up to the Fans Project table and ask them if they're going to make Pretender shells for this.
Well, no. First, I don't think there's going to be a Fans Project table, but I highly doubt that they would ever do shells for anything again.
They can't afford to.
No.
Yeah. Now, you know, I'll be honest. You know, I spent more in the final summary. I did spend more for the Dino King version of this than what it ended up selling for. But the money I saved on getting the shells is that 5-pack versus what they're selling for individually. It all balanced. It all pretty much washed out in the end, and I did get my shells. So I'm really happy about that. But this does look great. It's just I really wanted a Dino King representation more than a Monstructor. But I think this looks wonderful. It really does.
Yeah, it does.
We talked about this on There Goes My Money this week's episode. And I think basically the consensus we reached was that between the two versions, Dino King versus Monstructor, Monstructor is something we're a lot more likely to see in a Combiner Wars style as an official product than a Dino King. So, like, if you're going to go for one batch of these or the other one, this is probably not the one to go for.
Hey, so, real quick, guys, before we move to the next item, I just got to share this because I have the best wife ever. She just came back from Walmart and found something that I had been looking for months. So, Walmart has been selling coffee mugs of, like, that are licensed with whatever on them, like Batman and stuff. And there was a Ninja Turtle mug that I wanted because it was misprinted. It was misprinted upside down with the Eastman and Laird turtles. She just brought me.
All right.
So you have Raphael right here, and it's printed upside down.
That is wonderful.
I love this. I have been wanting this for the longest time. So thank you, Kim. It makes my day. It really does. Okay. So yeah. Monstructor, it's great. When this, I learned about this in our internal email list, and I thought, oh crap, Hasbro's doing a Monstructor. I was disappointed to find out it was Fans Project, but not that disappointed because it's never going to come out.
Oh, throw that shade, Brian. Jeez.
Okay, so I saw. I don't think we talked about this last week. I may have missed it. It looks like Bone Crusher and Optimus are going to be part of the Voyager assortment, the fourth Voyager assortment for Studio Series. Did we talk about that?
No.
Do we have photos on those yet?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, not yet. So I'm guessing it's going to be the same Optimus Prime, or is it going to be a different Optimus Prime?
It's a different product number or barcode number, so it's not just a rerun of the Wave 1 Optimus, as far as we can tell.
Okay.
So I'm guessing it will be either a Movie 3 or Movie 4 version.
We're not sure yet.
I think that the listings both say Movie 6.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but Bone Crusher says Movie 6 also, and I think they're just kind of lumping everything in together. I don't think that means we're going to like get Bone Crusher in the Bumblebee movie.
Well, if Optimus is movie 6, we're going to have to make sure it has the correct forearms.
This is true.
Okay, so next item. Amazon's posted finalized stock photos for Power of the Primes, Optimal Optimus, and...
You can see Optimus Primal's head completely.
Where's it at?
Last picture.
Oh.
the chin guard, they didn't have any silver paint left for it. It's blue. He's got like a weird blue beard.
That's how they'll all be.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean this is a photo of the final production toy, so that's what they're gonna look like.
somehow it just, and, you know, complements the awful Foil Maximal sticker on the shoulder.
Yeah, kind of. Maybe there will be a sticker in the box to put on the chin to make it silver.
Someone's so you have, gonna the, have to get the silver Sharpie.
Okay. So you'll have the guard over the lip be silver paint, and then the chin guard will be like a chrome silver sticker.
What? I was about to say, okay, Toy Hacks, give us better Maximal symbols and a silver chin strap, please.
So this is like, I don't understand the stock photo here. That's like a mid-transformation.
Well, that's because the photographer didn't understand it either.
Oh. So I would like to have, what? So in that episode, Quickstrike was not wearing, was Quickstrike wearing an Optimus armor?
Well, yeah, basically.
I wonder if
like
I get,
they made the dummy Optimal Optimus so he could take control.
I wonder if I could fit him in there. Probably not. I don't hate this. I really don't.
I'm really less interested in it than I have been at any point previously.
Mm-hmm.
Which works out Primal because just, we have observed that Walmart's all over the place.
To begin with.
Walmart's all over the place seem to be eliminating the Leader and sometimes Voyager price point spots from their Transformers spaces. Oh, so
no way. That's sad.
Yeah, I think that's why I found Rodimus Unicronus for $30 so quickly.
Me too.
Yeah, you and a bunch of other people.
Yep, me too.
Yeah.
Hey, okay, so let's go ahead and just real quick talk about Power of the Primes first. So Machinima's Power of the Primes will premiere on May 1st on Tumblr. Because Go90's going away. Go90's going away. So I was talking to Jeremy Dennis from Transmissions
all that
on Twitter.
Traffic didn't help.
No, I guess not. And he was like, "Well, yeah, Verizon owns Tumblr," and I'm like, "Oh, yeah." I mean, I knew that Yahoo owned Tumblr, and I forgot that Verizon owned Yahoo, so it makes sense that Tumblr would be the place they're putting this. And except for like the fact that Tumblr sucks, but I can't believe
I have to go to Tumblr to watch this.
Yeah, it'll be on YouTube.
No, there's good news for this. So unless they've got some other mechanism by which they're going to put this up there, Tumblr is really easy to rip media from. So
it'll be on YouTube.
Shouldn't be hard to get this through alternative channels.
If you want
to
watch it,
completely not sanctioned.
If you want to watch it,
well, Diecast obviously does.
Now, so did you watch the trailer?
I didn't.
I did.
I had
no.
I didn't even know that it was out yet.
It's not the worst thing I've ever seen. I think it's marginally better than the what's come before it, but just from a trailer. I didn't want to punch my screen.
That's a start.
Yeah. It looked exactly the same as the other stuff. Maybe a hair better, probably not. But the voices didn't drive me crazy.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot more like professional grade voice actors in this one than the last couple, I think.
Well, usually
so has the directing got any better?
There you go.
That's the question.
The voice acting's usually not the problem.
This is true.
And the audio, and did they hire a new audio person so that everything doesn't
basically
sound like it's
they
just
replaced their entire production side staff for this? I'm guessing not.
Yeah, is this just like something done by somebody else, and that's how they were able to do two of them so quickly? I don't think we're going to be that lucky.
Yeah, probably not.
Although I don't know, you might be onto something there. Like if they knew they had to get these out within a couple of months of each other, basically, they might have brought in a second team, and maybe the second team did better.
It's possible.
Okay, so real quick, just from Figure King magazine, scans were posted that include pictures of Predaking King. The one that I was most interested in, because I don't know that we have a side by side, or
I think this is the first time.
But you have a side by side with Devastator. He's like a hair shorter,
a head shorter.
Yeah,
about a head shorter. Yeah,
yeah.
That's not too bad.
No, it's not bad. I think we said that we wish that the Dinobots had been Voyagers, and I still do, but I wouldn't want them to combine. So yeah. I guess I'm okay with this, with the exception of now I have two Decepticon combiners at the Titan scale
that don't scale with the rest of the line.
Yeah. Combiners
can be any size they want to be.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
except
especially
the right
in season
one.
Three.
Except the right one.
I'm okay with everything about this except how the combiner looks and how the individual robots look.
Also the underlying designs that they went with, G1 with knees. I'm not okay with that. But yeah, other than those three things, I think I'm fine.
I'm fine with the look of it. I really am.
I still like the way Predaking looks overall. Yeah. I mean, I can get nitpicky about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just not used to him having actual like leg looking legs and not just, you know, short little stumps.
Neither are the designers, and that's why they're hanging off the back of two of the robots.
Very true.
He'll look fine on the shelf.
I'm sorry, guys. I've tried to be, you know, diplomatic about this, but I hate everything about this figure.
Awesome.
Okay.
Don't hold back. Rob, tell us how you really feel.
But I mean, look at the bright side though. Like, this is one Titan class year where you don't have to sit and look at everybody else getting them and, you know, feel envious. It's just like, look at those suckers who blew $150 on this thing I know is garbage.
Well, I'm gonna wait till it goes down. It's gotta be under 100.
Wait till it's at Ollie's.
I won't be able to wait that long.
I mean, Trypticon has gone to about $100 multiple times the time since it came out. So, I mean, you know, just watch your Amazon, tfradio.net/Amazon, and you'll eventually find a deal on that is more comfortable for you. But for me, there's really not a deal that's going to be more comfortable because I don't care about this at all.
And when everybody waits for a clearance deal on this, that will kill the funding for the next Titan class, so Diecast will never get his Unicron.
Oh,
so, sadness. You know, bonus.
No, that'll be a HasLab project.
It could be.
I think the next Titan probably will be a HasLab, if anything, things are going.
Yeah, I want to see a HasLab. I really want to see a HasLab Transformer. I really do.
And it'll be Unicron.
And Diecast will pledge for 5 of them just because.
And then forget that he pledged for 5 of them.
I'll pledge for 5 of them, but
all
not on
5,000 just to get them made.
You know, I'm going to be the odd man out.
Really, I'm don't. I did not expect that of
yes,
you.
Yes, yes. Yes, I'm going to make a prediction that I know will not come true. Animated Omega will be a HasLab item.
I mean, I'd be on board for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's other than you and a couple other folks like Paladin, there's no
demand for that. You know, the people who still care about Animate are super passionate about that, and I really respect that devotion to the thing that clicked with them so strongly, Hi Matt. But yeah, I mean, like in terms of like numbers of people to support something like this, it's not there anymore.
And from the current design team, there is absolutely zero chance of getting anything inspired by
saying. This is the best chance we've had outside of a third party to actually get Animated Omega is through HasLab. As far as it's an infinitesimal chance.
Yeah, I would argue
at least
there's
something.
I would argue that it doesn't improve the likelihood at all.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I've been avoiding.
At least there's another outlet for the chance.
Go ahead, Chris.
Go ahead, Rob, finish, and then I'll go.
It increases the chances in that, you know, buying 2 lottery tickets makes it very, very slightly more likely you will win than buying 1 lottery ticket.
Yeah.
Boy, Rob, you're just full of piss and vinegar tonight. Jeez.
I like it. Chris, go ahead.
So, I've been not shouting out a lot of the hashtags coming through the chat, but I really like this one, so I gotta give props for this to JT Prime. Hashtag really big broadside before Unicron.
Ooh.
Yes!
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 Oh, and you know what? He comes with a sticker set that's also for the flag. So
yes.
You can buy him for broadside, or you can put flags.
I'd buy that.
On him.
I'd buy the hell out of that.
I would buy 2. Yeah. I would buy 2.
I would.
One for each.
Let's see here. What else? So, Flame Toys, Furei model, Optimus Prime action figure
or
kit.
Furei, probably, actually,
yeah,
since
probably
it's Japanese.
Furei.
So,
God, that looks terrible.
It's $40. That's actually not too bad. It's a kit.
Yeah, $40 for a 6-inch tall model kit.
Yeah, that's not too bad, honestly. I don't think.
Yeah, I want to say, last week when this popped up, when it was in just the white prototype, I was kind of really iffy on it.
Oh my God, that's hideous.
But I'll be honest, if I didn't have Striker Noir for my anime-style Optimus, I would be a lot more tempted by this, because it's in those colors. It's a very dynamic Optimus. It's almost like Optimus build fighters. You know, like he's really a Gundam and he's just hiding out in the Transformers universe kind of thing.
I wouldn't buy this at all.
No.
But it's interesting that it exists. And I like that Hasbro is branching out and licensing stuff like this. So for the people out there who want it, can have it.
Wow. I mean, it's just in with the colors, it's a lot more striking of a figure to me than just seeing the general body sculpt that we saw when it was all white prototype last week.
So for me, this goes back to like all the people who look at Leonidas, the unofficial Lyo Convoy, and eat it up. To me, this looks exactly like that. It looks nice, but it's not for me.
And Blade Raider's got it exactly right. It looks like Armada Optimus Prime before he scanned in Earth form in the first episode.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hey, that could be. But, you know, but like I've got Stryker Noir. And to me, that's my anime
Optimus. Don't you have Stryker Anus as well? Is it Jason that has Stryker Anus?
No, Stryker Noir. There's Stryker Mac.
Isn't there Stryker Anus? I'll shut up.
No.
Okay, so there's also DX9 Montana, unofficial MP scale Sonicon breakdown. I think we had photos before. It doesn't do anything for me.
I forgot about this. It's been taken so long.
It's been teased so long.
Looks like a Cyber Battalion toy.
Nice. Very so GoBody.
I think this is the first of DX9 Stunicons that's going to be coming out.
I really like that size, though. That's a good size.
Are these the ones that are like $69, though?
No, this is $100.
Okay.
Oh, man, it doesn't do anything for me.
It's weird. They're starting with Breakdown here, and then the next one that's coming out is Motormaster before the rest of the limbs.
Huh.
That's weird.
I
like it.
I usually dig their stuff, but this is not clicking.
I'm digging it.
Digging it. Okay.
Well, you're alarmingly easy to please, Diecast.
Not always. real quick. Hey, guess what? It's time for our Amazon plug. If you want to buy Studio Series toys, most are still in stock. You can get those at tfradio.net/studio. I think that Blackout and Grimlock are out of stock. But
they've been spending most of their time out of stock.
A couple other things, though. I went back and looked just to see what was available. We talked last week about the Last Night Voyager size Megatron. If you missed out last week, like $14, I'm sorry. But it's still like $18, which is not bad. tfradio.net/TLK Megatron. One thing I'm considering, because I didn't get it, and I didn't want to spend full retail, and this is somewhat discounted, is the Last Night Leader Class Megatron. Currently $36. That's at tfradio.net/TLK Megatron 2. I would like to find it for a little less than that, but...
$25?
Yeah. I found one for $25 at clearance at Walmart, but it had been opened and repackaged, and I did not trust it. Hound is now $17, tfradio.net/TLK Hound. And we haven't talked about it in a while, but the people out there might have been holding out for a Takara version that's not coming. Combiner Wars Lyo Kaiser is still available and right now for $90 at tfradio.net/Lyo Kaiser.
Yeah, the pricing on that's been pretty consistent over the last several weeks or last few months, so that seems like it's going to be available for the foreseeable future. Entertainment Earth did finally sell through all of their supply of it just recently. So,
Hey, that's the way to get it. Hey, and anytime you use the Amazon link at tfradio.net/Amazon or any of the links we mentioned on the show helps us out, helps pay for the show. We don't like run any of their advertising or anything like that, so we would appreciate you using our link. It's how I keep from going broke.
tfradio.net/Amazon,
not well. And I'm about to have, I'm potentially about to have two kids, so we'll see. I don't want to do like, please do this, but you know, hey, tfradio.net/Amazon. Hey, Rob, what's on TVRumors this week?
Okay, first up, we've got some photos of the various Bumblebee movie promotions at CinemaCon 2018. Seems to mostly be the same promotional image, but it looks fairly decent. We've got some coverage of both of the leaked from Cybertron just mini features that they've put out about one about Studio Series Grimlock and one about Power of the Primes Dinobot Slash the last couple of days. We learned via Twitter that James Roberts is going to take a break from Transformers writing after the conclusion of Lost Light. When asked if he, you know, could ever see coming back, he said, "We'll see." So it's once again, after the conclusion of Unicron, the future of IDW's Transformers comics is a little bit up in the air.
Yeah, so it came out in conversation after that point with other people on the creative side in the IDW Transformers space that it looks like IDW is kind of stepping away from most or everybody who's been involved so far. So I think it's kind of going to be a complete fresh take post reboot, at least for the time being.
Well, we'll see about that. I don't know how I feel about that one way or the other at this point. We've got the first look at this year's Transformers Hallmark ornament, and it is G1 Starscream.
I like it. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it looks good.
It's not terrible.
No.
G1 Starscream is a terrible toy, though, so it looks like...
I mean, yeah, it is a terrible toy, but it also looks cool.
Yeah, it's oh man.
Yeah, I mean, Diecast, you have to contextualize this in the way it was designed, which is as a transforming mecha, not as a super robot life form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just the fact that the, you know, design sensibilities for Japan in like 1982 were very, very different from anything we have now.
Yeah. Or had then.
Yeah. And lastly, one last leaked from Cybertron feature on Leader Class Blackout.
Cool. Hey, Don, what's on the network this week?
What's on the network this week? There Goes My Money, episode 39. That's not a good business idea. This week on There Goes My Money, we have our first themed episode. With all the recolors and reissues coming out of third party, XV, Eric, and Jason are with Diecast to discuss what this all means for third party in general. Are the companies just trying to build off of previous successes, or are they doing their best to get rid of remaining stock before the clock strikes midnight for them? Looking at you, Fans Project and KFC. Regardless, there's some good conversation to be had, so grab a chair, relax, and join us for this episode of There Goes My Money. RPG Lessons Learned, episode 51, sorry. Shock Jock Savage Worlds, East Texas University. This week on RPG Lessons Learned, Dusty relearns that the most basic of lessons, you have to hook your players.
It's super important. Diecast, do you have any reviews this week?
No, okay. But I should have some coming up.
RFC reviews. Awesome.
Are you going to be reviewing that Not Drift?
Yeah, that's one of my plans.
Hey, one listener question that I wanted to actually get in on this show. I meant to answer this last week, but I haven't. So it also came through email. It was originally mentioned in the chat. Joey wants to know, hey, guys, are the Transformers Studio series worth collecting? Mostly no.
I think it's either it depends on your view of each character.
It is.
It's like I said, I've got Starscream and I've saw the reviews and it looks like it's an excellent toy. I'm just not sure whether I'm going to keep the Starscream or not because it's another movie Starscream. I did buy Stinger because all we got before was a Bumblebee repaint from Japan that I really didn't want. And this is an actual Stinger. And I did buy Blackout.
I didn't even get that.
Because it's finally a Leader Class Blackout. And I did pick up Grimlock. Granted, it's more for him to look on the shelf and say, look how pretty I am, than an actual desire for, because it's such a gorgeous toy.
Yeah, so that seems to more be the thing here. Like, the Studio Series toys seem more like they are, like, good design exercises in getting, like, very solid versions of these existing designs out, maybe with the exception of Bumblebee. But you have to kind of be invested in the characters already for it to actually have a value to pick them up. Like,
exactly.
I picked up Stinger because I don't, not because I care about the character, but because it's the first time we've actually had to a Pagani Huayra vehicle mode in Transformers, and I actually like that car design. So, like, there was a basis for me to grab that and so far nothing else. But, like, Starscream looks interesting, but I don't really like that Starscream design except for that it's an F-22. I mean, you know, you kind of got to go with factors like that. It's got to mean something to you before it's going to be worth it, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I have no desire for the Ratchet. I have no desire for the Crowbar. I picked up the Optimus because it's Optimus and it's a new mold. It's another transformation, which amazes me how they get from the same base truck mode all these different transformations. Blackout was a must purchase, and Grimlock I bought after some of the guys on Twitter said, "Look how beautiful this thing is," and I have to admit, that is one of the best looking figures I've seen in a long time. Grimlock. And it's amazing what paint does for a figure.
Yeah. So, like, Blackout looks phenomenal, but is just a shell former, which I'm not crazy about. I knew the Bumblebee was crap, but I got it because I needed to spend something. Thundercracker I like, but again, right now it's a Toys R Us exclusive.
It wasn't made for Studio Series anyway.
Yeah. So I mean,
the Nitro Zeus is a very solid base mode.
Oh yeah.
Stinger I got because I wanted a Stinger and wasn't able to get the Takara repaint, and now it's like more expensive than it's worth.
Since most of us are not maybe the ideal people to ask, are movie toys worth it? Let's turn the question around to maybe a better perspective for us. Outside of that Bumblebee, are there any figures in this line that you would say are not worth owning, even if you love the character?
I'm probably iffy on
Crowbar because, well, the Crowbar is so close. Well, the Crowbar is so close to Berserker. To me,
they
anyway,
share parts. I think we determined.
Mm. So it's like, and if you can find a Crowbar for, I found one for $250 on clearance at Walmart, versus $30 for Studio Series, is $27.50 more important than having?
Okay, you found the Berserker for $250 versus the $20 that Crowbar would have cost. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, so you know, yeah. They're I'm sorry, I was thinking Starscream's price. So yeah, it's like, is what little difference there is visually to me anyway, worth the extra $18?
So when I was hanging out with Hey Mickey last weekend at the comic shop in Nashville that I like to stop at, there was actually a sealed Studio Series Crowbar there for like $12.99.
Really?
Hmm.
Interesting.
Wow,
that's odd.
I mean, you know, and the poor thing is, nobody talks about Ratchet. No one ever seems to bring up poor Ratchet. And I like I like that Ratchet that's based on, but I have that movie version. Again, this is a little bit better in some cases, but it's just, it means nothing to me. The character was barely a character.
The way they engineered Ratchet, like, in the package, it looks like a huge toy, but it's also, like, really spindly because everything is stretched out to give it the height it's supposed to have. Like, I can, you know, see all the tricks with it just looking at it through the package. It's not something I would actually want to own, knowing what I can know from looking at it out of the package. It doesn't look appealing the way it's been designed,
cool,
even though it's got that size appeal.
Yeah, but, like, if you really or a completist and you buy everything, you're buying it anyway. If you like the movie stuff and you are either trying to fill in gaps for these characters, go ahead and buy them while you can get them. But if you are not necessarily the biggest movie fan, like me, I'm sparingly buying these. I think I bought the ones I'm going to buy. It's not really my thing.
I might grab Starscream if the price drops, like, you know, 20 or less. Maybe.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you, Joy, for the question. Sorry it took me so long to get to that. So, yeah. We're bad at things. We sure are. But you can leave us a voicemail if you have a question at 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. You can find the show notes for this episode at tfradio.net/568. If you're listening to the podcast version of this, hopefully in a couple of days, you'll see basically a proof of concept show pop up. It's a done deal. Listen, and if you want to call in and never talk to Don, just watch for us on Twitter at TF Radio for when we'll be going live, and we'll give you some advanced warning, and you can talk to Don about whatever. We'll be doing it here in a few minutes once we are done recording this week's RFC. Again, TF Radio on Twitter at facebook.com/TF Radio if you want to reach us there. And on Instagram at TF Podcast. Rob Springer, who's not here, he is at Rubber Rob Springer on the Twitters and at zonebase.org. I'm on Twitter at BKilby. And on Instagram at Brian Kilby. Diecast, how do people get a hold of you?
You can come over to my house, or no, you can follow me on Twitter at Diecast2. You can follow me on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast. And you can check out my reviews on YouTube at or tfradio.net/reviews.
Matt is on Twitter at Melvar, 3 L's, 2 R's, MELLLVARR. He is worth a follow. Yeah, he is. He's shaking his head. Don, how do people get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me at 1-800-99. No, I'm reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EBR.
Chris?
I'm not here.
Hey, it looks like your Flickr is being bought out by Smug Mug. Are you worried about that?
Well, I've looked into it, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be a bad thing. So we'll see.
Flickr.com/ChrisRTXV, also on Twitter at ChrisRTXV.
You can't prove that.
Yes, I can. Rob, how do people get a hold of you?
I am on Twitter at FigureViewers and FlailThroughs. Also FlailThroughs a lot of other places, including YouTube, where the next few weeks we will be covering the beta test for Gundam Battle Operation 2, which was last week.
Cool. John.
That John D everywhere.
Excellent. Hey guys, that was great. We'll be back next week. We love you, people in the chat. Again, hashtag you're awesome and hashtag CCons before Unicron.
No.
Yes.
And, and also hashtag really big broadside before Unicron.
This is true. Hashtag really big broadside before anything. Basically. we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
And now returneth John DeLuna with tips for selling those Transformers.
How you doing, everybody? This is John DeLuna for RSC, and it's summertime. Schools are out, BotCon's coming up, and everybody is ready to buy and sell Transformers. You know, there are really two hot times of the year for the Transformer marketplace. One is around November, and the other is now. And, boy, are you ready to sell or buy that one special little guy? You're ready to fill that last gap in your collection. You are ready to sell two vital organs and your firstborn child for that mint-in-box Fortress Maximus. Well, there are definitely some tips that you need to know in order to get the best prices. And those tips will have to wait for next week, because this week I'm talking to all you sellers out there. The guys who need fast cash. The guy who's run out of room in that closet he affectionately calls an apartment. The guy who needs to unload that Jetfire that's been sitting on his television for 2 years, or that tarantula that's hanging from the ceiling. Well, guys, here are some tips on where to get the best prices and how to get the best prices for your stuff. Oh, and everybody who's looking to buy Transformers, well, you guys better listen up, too. I mean, it can't hurt to know some of these strategies also, can it? Anyway, here are some tips for getting the most money from your Transformer. Tip number one, sell separately. If you're selling your entire collection, or even just three or four headmasters, break it down. It doesn't take long to sell a whole lot in one shot. True, and it will take a little bit longer to sell them piece by piece. But, believe me, you'll make a ton more when it's all said and done. I've seen it 1,000 times. Somebody auctions off their entire collection in one shot, and they get around $2,000 from a dealer, which sounds great. But when you stop and you look at the collection piece by piece, it's worth like 4 times that. I mean, that's what the dealer did. He saw a bargain. So be patient and sell your stuff bit by bit. Tip number 2, don't sell on Usenet. Remember, the ultimate goal here is for you to get the most money from your Transformers, and the dot marketplace is not the place to do it. Usenet is full of trans fans looking for bargains, and you only find a few collectors with big pockets roaming around, not enough to drive up prices. Another problem with Usenet is you're pretty much stuck to selling Transformers at set prices. Just try to run your own auction from Usenet and you're in for some pain. I mean, barely anybody will contact you with bids, and half of those will flake out and never send payment. If you're looking for profit, honestly, Usenet is a big waste of time. But actual auctioning is not a waste of time, and that brings us to tip number 3, don't sell auction. This is by far the best way for you to sell stuff on the internet. Transformers are really hot collectibles, and you can't imagine what people will pay for these things. I guess if you've been to eBay, you've got a good idea, though. Just try going to Usenet and asking $600 for a mint-in-box Starscream. It'll be a miracle if you get any response other than somebody flaming you saying, "Scalpers suck." But on eBay or even Yahoo, that's the normal price. It's a seller's paradise. But I must say, choose your category that you put your stuff in carefully, especially on eBay where Transformers have like 4 or 5 categories now, which range from Beast Wars to Beast Machines to Japanese to G1. And be careful about putting reserves on your auction. You don't really need one unless you've got a particular price in mind that you think is just too high to start the actual auction at. I say that because reserve prices can actually turn off bidders and drive them away. So only use them on high-end stuff. And I guess that's about it for selling tips. Remember, auctioning your Transformers separately is the best way to go. And don't be afraid to advertise. Usenet is terrible for selling, but it's a great place to hype a big sale. And next week, I'll be giving up some tips on buying Transformers and where to get and how to find the best Transformers at the best and lowest prices. Until then, for RFC, I am John DeLuna.
Radio Free Cybertron, the only radio show where you'll hear me say, "I'm not wearing any pants."